Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, homeownership here from the experts, and we are coming to you live from Fishbowl Radio Network, live at Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. And my name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And co-hosting with me today,
it's Salvador Villalobos. We're a little off. We've been away from the radio for a bit.
We've still been on the radio, but yeah. We're happy to say that we're back live in the studio today after being away from the studio for a while. And I hope you all out there are staying safe. Still, we are practicing our distancing, and in these, and people can't see Sal, but he's wearing gloves. Okay, so very, very proud to. That we have our guests today. We have two very important guests today from TDHCA, from the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. And first we have Kathy Gutierrez, and we have Fernando Guajardo. Thank you both for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Leticia, for having
us.
Very
happy to be here.
All right, perfect.
Very happy to be here.
All right. So we're happy to hear everything that you have to say about what's going on. And so let's start with you, Kathy. Tell us about yourself and your role at TDHCA.
Well, I am the Director of Home Ownership for the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. Started here at TDHCA in 1992. So 28 years here at one place. Excited about that, mainly because retirement's not too far away. So definitely something to look forward to. But when I began my career here at TDHCA, I started in the loan servicing department, just an admin there, learning about servicing and housing in Texas. From there, I went over to Housing Trust Fund. I went to our some of our federal programs. So I did some stuff on our community services block. Did some time over in our home program, and then landed in 2010, I believe. No, sooner than that. I don't even know what, how many. It's been here so long. Not sure on what dates I moved around, but I began working in the single family finance division sometime in the early 2000s. So I've been here for a while. I've been in my current role as the director of home ownership for 5 years now. So you would hopefully see that I've got a passion for affordable housing when I talk about how long I've been here. The agency itself, I mean, just going through the different divisions, it's given me a really good view of what the agency does in terms of affordable housing, how we're helping achieve homeownership, how we're helping them in other ways through community services options. And so it's been an exciting time here. On a personal level, I'm a proud mother of three boys. One is a semi-recent graduate from the Texas State University, and I've got one, a senior at the University of Texas, and then I've got a junior in high school. Wow. So they're all they're not all at home, but they're all kind of with the current situation, sticking around the house or coming around here and there, and so I think they're quite bored, but you know, we're having a lot of family time, and that's really important right now. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's all been really good.
Awesome, that's great, and we'll talk more about you in a minute. Fernando, tell us about you.
Well, I'm happy to be back on the show. Thank you very much for having us. I haven't been with TDHCA too long, but I've been around affordable housing for quite some time. And in my role as a business development officer, be sure that the public knows what exactly is it that we do. So what a great forum to get the word out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're so happy to that you're here.
Sure.
So TDHCA has been around for a long time. And I just love the programs that you all have. Being a realtor, and I'm sure, Sal, you being a lender.
Loan officer, right.
Yes. You know, we use the product that you have available to our first-time home buyers. And so we're really proud to have you on and have you share that with our listeners. So, listeners, if you're in this situation that we are in, this crisis, this pandemic that we're going through right now, the hope is still there for home ownership. It's been there, and it will still be there once we get past this. So the information you're going to hear today will help you in that process, and that's what we're all about.
And lenders are still using down payment assistance programs.
Right. I mean,
there's some talk that they're not, but there are certain lenders still out there using these viable programs.
Yeah, Sal, right now, you know, there are a lot of rumors and things that are being said. And so that's why we come here with some information from experts that you can use. So we're in this. Let's talk, Kathy, let's talk about, for example, someone already has a mortgage. Right. So someone already has a mortgage and they've lost their job. And how do I pay my mortgage? What is out there for me? So can you tell us in your perspective from a state agency, from your perspective, what you see forbearance as an affecting?
Well, it's available there for those that you just mentioned. The CARES Act has made it possible for anyone who is facing that hardship right now. They've lost their job, they've been furloughed, whatever the case, they're directly or indirectly by the current situation with the virus. They are able to request from their servicer, which is the place where they make their mortgage payments, where they're sending their monthly mortgage payments to. They're able to call in and request a forbearance, and basically that will allow them to suspend making their payments for a certain amount of time. And every servicer will be able to give them more details on how that will. But my understanding is there's not very many questions that are asked through the process. And definitely if they're running into some kind of issue or they've got that hardship, they need to reach out and see how they can work with their servicer to request that.
Okay.
I know that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just came out yesterday with more clearance on where their servicers are servicing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans, that there's some misconception out there that the entire payment will need to be paid up front, but that's not true. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac both came out yesterday and stated that that there will be different options for, you have to contact your servicer. Even some of the servicers were getting it wrong because there was no clarification as to what happens after the forbearance period is done. So your servicers
right.
are required by the CARES Act to notify, or not by the CARES Act, but by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to notify that homeowner 30 days before the forbearance expiration so that they can contact with them and agree on or inquire what options are available to them, which can either be full payment of a lump sum, a repayment where they may add it up to their payment, or at the end of their payment, or a modification where they lower the loan amount, incorporating that postponement of payments that will have to be paid eventually.
Okay,
right.
Thank you, Sal, for that.
Yeah, it's important for folks to know it's not just going to go away where you're just not making your payments and you won't have to catch up at some point. I mean, they'll definitely provide some type of workout plan and some options for them to repay the months that they missed. But if they have a hardship, they need to seek that out because that's what it's there for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Fernando, do you have anything to add?
No, she's right on target. You have to excuse me. I'm trying to get to an area where I get better signal, so I'll let Kathy run with it right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Kathy, tell us how. What are you seeing as far as? I know you work directly with lenders in your assistance programs. Are you seeing any changes during this time?
Well, definitely concern. It slowed down just a little bit in the volume of calls we were getting from our lender partners on, you know, the program itself and whether or not it was going to be suspended, whether or not there were going to be guideline changes, if we were going to impose, different overlays from what we previously had. Mm-hmm. THCA, we are the designated housing finance agency for the state of Texas. We are a true state agency, and you've got the backing of the state of Texas with our program. And that goes a long way, especially in a situation that we're facing now. There have been no changes to our program. We continue to offer the program at a 620 minimum FICO score. We don't currently have a DTI, debt-to-income ratio maximum. Lender compensation is the same. They've got their financial in a very strong position to continue to purchase loans from us, from our lender partners. We're in a really great place, and, you know, the best thing about that is our mission is to provide affordable, sustainable homeownership. And if there was ever a time that the consumers of the state of Texas, those that are looking to become first, home buyers, this is the time to look at what the state has to offer. I mean, we were providing this, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 35 years ago, mm-hmm. and never did we imagine, no one imagined that we would be going through something as we are now, but the program is still, the department is still offering what we were offering, so we have the concern from our lender partners. We've been able to, with our master servicer, who is Idaho, we've been able to have individual calls with our servicer and our lender partners just to make sure that everybody's comfortable with continuing to originate under the program.
So, Kathy, okay. A question. So, as a lender, mm-hmm. You're saying that you currently are not imposing any overlays on your programs?
No, right. So the guidelines for the program prior to this, and they continue, they remain, would be that, the 620 minimum credit score. That was really the only overlay, so to speak. And that wasn't necessarily a TDHC overlay. It's a servicer overlay. But we have heard, there are many programs in the state and in the country that have had to make changes.
Of course.
They've had to increase their FICO score requirement.
I heard some, if their DTI has lowered as well as their FICOs have increased. Now, a real quick question regarding the household earning income, or the AMI, is that mm-hmm. 80% of a designated area, or is that the earnings of the homeowner or buyer that's buying that particular property? Because that comes up quite a bit.
Sure, yeah, that's a great question, Sal. So the income limits that apply to the program, they go up to 115% of the AMI. So, there's a little bit more flexibility. We consider that moderate income, and we use HUD income figures to they provide
call
income.
Call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. Three.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, go
Are
ahead,
we good,
Kathy.
Guys? Yeah, okay.
Okay, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you can answer Sal's question about the specific question. So you've been listening to the Reba Show. coming to you live from Globe Life Park in Arlington. Our guests today are Kathy Gutierrez and Fernando Guajardo with TDHCA, the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have some more information. I do want to say, though, listener, if you have a question about down payment assistance right now during this time and about lending during this time, please call us. The number is 214-431-5062, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. All right, so let's take a break. We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
Watching my favorite show, PJs, popcorn and ice cream with no makeup on. My girls dragged me out to a party, I didn't wanna go. I walked in and that's when I saw you, my heart hit the floor. I get weird, I get shy, and you are the reason why. I get weak, wanna die, and you look me in the eye. Is it all?
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
You're listening to The Reba Show, homeownership, hear it from the experts. We're coming to you live from Globe Life Park, Fishbowl Radio Network in Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name is Leticia Gallegos, co-hosting with me
Salvador Villalobos.
Yes, and we're coming to you live right now. If you'd like to join our conversation, please call the number 214-431-5062. Our special guests today are from the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA. And we have Kathy Gutierrez and Fernando Guajardo with us as a call-in. We wish they were here in studio, but because of the circumstances and the social distancing, physical distancing,
right,
we have to talk to them via phone. So we are happy to bring this information to you, listeners. If you're, you know, we talk about on this show homeownership and the effects of homeownership, and especially during this time, we're talking about the down payment assistance, just to make sure that you can still get it during this time and with your loan and things like that. So, Sal, before we went on break, you had a question for Kathy, a specific question.
Right. It was regarding the average. There's certain restrictions based on income, correct? So there's been some questions when I get some phone calls asking regarding the maximum income for an area, otherwise known the average medium income allowed under this program. Can you explain that a little further? Some people say it's 80%. Some people say it's much higher or lower. Can you give us clarification on that?
Sure, absolutely. So our average medium income, AMI, is going to be up to 115% of the area. So we've got an income chart on our website for any of those that are listening that would like to find some of this information directly on our website. You can go to our website, which is myfirsttexashome.com. all spelled out, myfirsttexashome.com. And on the buyer intro page, to our income limits. But we go from 100% AMI, so that's for a family of one to two persons. Mm-hmm. So that's anything that makes up a family of one to two. It could obviously be a single person. It could be a married couple. It could be a parent and a child. It could be a single person with their parent living there. Household, anything that makes up a family of one to two would use the 100% area median family income limits. And then anything that makes up a family of three or more could go up to 115%.
That's
three
great.
Or more, using the same example, a couple and one or more children, a single parent with two or more children, anything that makes up that household.
Okay.
So if you
have AMI.
So that AMI takes into consideration the income of any income-earning individual, or is it just the person that's applying?
So we have two options available. We have our My First Texas Home program, which is going to be specific to a first-time home buyer. So a first-time home buyer is anyone who has not owned a home as their principal primary resident within the last 3 years. That particular program, because it does have to be, it has to follow IRS tax code, so it has to be tax code compliant. The income methodology is where we have to consider anyone with ownership interest. So, say for example, you are a married couple, and both of you, because. Property state, both of you would be signing the trust, which would give both of you ownership interest in the property. Okay. Therefore, for program eligibility, you would need to consider both of your income against those income limits that I mentioned. We get that question a lot, because a lot of times folks will structure their loan where they're married, but they have what they call a non-purchasing spouse or a non-borrowing spouse, meaning the spouse is not going to be on the loan for whatever reason. Because Texas is a community property state, that spouse will still be signing the deed of trust, which will then give them ownership interest to the property, which will then require us, per tax code, to include their income. Even if you're not, you as the lender, Sal, for example, you would not be considering that spouse's income for loan qualifying. You'll need to consider it against the program limit. Okay. So that is for our My First Texas Home program, and that's because the program is, we do consider what we call tax-exempt mortgage revenue bonds for funding that program. So we have to make sure that any borrower that goes under that program meets our income eligibility requirement.
Okay.
Now, we have also our My Choice Texas Home program, and this one gives a little bit those who maybe are not a first-time home buyer, or they're in that situation that I mentioned. They're married, but they have a non-borrowing spouse, so we will consider just credit-qualifying income, meaning the same income that you, the lender, will consider for loan-qualifying. You would still use the same limits. It's just different methodologies for the different programs.
Okay.
And again, we have the income limits on our site, Tarrant County, Arlington area.
Mm-hmm.
So just to throw out an example of limits, now we are working on updating our limits for 2020. HUD just published those limits mid-month in April. So we're working on getting those ready to put out probably in the next few weeks. I don't know yet if they'll go up or not. Go up just a few percentages, maybe, 2 to 3%. But today's limits, if you were to want to qualify for the program today, you would need to, for a 1 to 2 person family, the maximum income would be $85,029. And if you are a family of three or more, it would be $97,784.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm on your website. I see Tarrant Downtown and Tarrant East. How would I determine which location I would belong to?
So are you speaking specifically about targeted areas?
Yes.
Okay. So targeted, give you a little bit of definition of what a targeted area is as it relates to our program.
Okay.
And this is how it's defined, where more than 70% of the families, based on census data, 70% of the families in that particular census tract are considered low income, meaning their income is below 80% of that area median family income that we talked about. If you were purchasing in what we call a qualified targeted census tract, then there's some incentives to purchasing in those areas. And really they're trying to kind of revitalize those areas. So they waive the first-time home buyer requirement, they meaning IRS, and they allow for higher income and purchase price limits. Now, if you're looking at MapSAL on our website for targeted areas, we put those out there so that our partners, realtor partners and lender partners, and the consumer as well, could look at and kind of get a visual of where those areas are in their specific county. There are not many targeted areas across the state. I'm not looking at it right now.
Downtown.
I can look at it with you. But that's not going to determine whether or not you qualify for the program in general. That's just going to give you a visual on if you wanted to purchase in a targeted area. Maybe you have a higher income and you needed to be able to use those higher income limits, then that's going to give you a visual where those might be, or where they are actually in your county.
And I have one.
Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. So another question came to mind. You were talking about income. If the non-borrowing spouse is earning income, we have to take in consideration because they're going to have an ownership interest in that property. Now, let's say we understand that, but now there's a child that is receiving, or an adult, the homeowner is now, say, their administrator or their representative. For somebody that's disabled or is getting Social Security or annuity income, does that count against them, or is that something separate does that go against the household income?
If they're, right, their income is for someone that they're guardian of, and yes, they get any kind of Social Security benefits, disability benefits, then yes, we if it's coming to the actual borrower, the person who's going to have ownership interest in the property, then we do have to include it as income on the My First Texas Home. Now, if you were and this question comes up a lot, say you have a child, 17, 18, 25, whatever the case, and they're living in the household, they're contributing to the household. Maybe they're buying some groceries, or I don't know. I have kids at home that work that don't contribute to the house.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, but if they're living there, we get the question a lot of, well, do I include their income? No, you wouldn't include their income. Now, you would include them in family size. So if it makes up a family of three or more, you're able to use that 115% limit. But you would not include their income, even though they're contributing in one way or the other to the household.
Right.
You would not need to consider that in program qualifying.
But you will consider that income from, that is, you have somebody as the guardian for an adult child.
Yes.
We have to include that.
Consider that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Same with child support. If you're getting child support, now there could be exceptions to that. Say, for instance, you can prove that you are not getting it on a regular basis. We get that question come up a lot. Any time that there's a situation where it's not very clear, or if you're just not sure, we encourage
you
to reach out to us to run the scenario by us, because you might think that it won't work and then there could be some loophole or some way to get through it. So anytime you're not 100% sure, just run it by us and we'll give you some clarification.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right.
Can we have your phone number so we can call you when we have that question? Just kidding.
Yes, sir.
It's on the website. So it's that's great information, Kathy. Thank you so much. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we want you to tell us all about your what you're working on your website to make it more user friendly for you listeners that want more information about this. Definitely can go on to the website, and we'll give you more information on that on the other side of the break. But if you have questions, want to join the conversation, call us 214-431-5062. So we'll catch you on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening.
I want to let it take control, because every time that she gets closer, she pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. And maybe I should stop and start confessing. Yeah. Oh, I've been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. She says that she's never afraid. Just picture everybody naked. She really doesn't like to wait. Not really into hesitation. Pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. Oh, and maybe I should stop and start confessing. Shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
lost our minds and we took it way too far. I know we'd be alright, I know we would be alright if you were by my side. And we stumbled in the dark, I know we'd be alright, I know we would be alright. Cause if we lost our minds and we took it way too far, I know we'd be alright, I know we would be alright if you were by my side. We stumbled in the dark, I know we'd be alright, we would be alright. Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions, baby, there's nothing holding.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, homeownership here at From the Experts. We're live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name's Leticia Gallegos, co-hosting with me today.
Sal Villalobos.
And thank you all for listening today. We are excited about our guests. Again, I'm going to tell you who our guests are, Kathy Gutierrez and Fernando Guajardo with TDHCA, which is the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. So we've talked a lot about down payment assistance programs, and for you listeners, we're going to now talk about their website, because I want you to take note of all the great things that they have coming up on their new website, their current website. Of course, you can still access their current website. And Fernando, I'm going to ask you, if you will, give us your current website address. Okay, so how about you, Kathy? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. See.
All right, so your website address at this time is?
MyFirstTexasHome.com. And again, that's spelled out, my first, so you spell out first, TexasHome.com.
All right. And the phone number is 1-800-792-1119. Is that correct? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So if you're looking to purchase a home and you're looking for actually, when you hire a professional, not hire, but when you consult with a professional to help you purchase a home, listener, and you ask them for guidance, a good realtor and a good lender will know about these programs that are available to you. So don't be afraid to ask for them, because they will help you tremendously.
Yeah.
And so we bring you the experts here on the show so you can hear directly from them, but your professional will have this information as well.
And your professional should give you options, not just one loan. And if they only offer you one loan, you should ask them, what are my other options? And if I'm not there yet, what do I need to do to be eligible for that other option as well? So,
right. If you're not, I think you're right, Sal. Okay, I know you're right, Sal. So what we want to tell our listeners is that I really believe that talking to a lender is kind of the first step, and that lender will give you a roadmap to how to get to the American dream of home ownership.
Correct.
Wherever you are, and however bad you think things are, and you can't, you don't have the credit or the resources, you definitely should consult with a professional, and you can always email us, and we'll be happy to pass your information along. Our email is rebashow@rebaconnect.org, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about the TDHCA website. Tell us about it.
I can go ahead and chime in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
The idea is that we go ahead and get consumers very easy to understand information, a location where they can go in and they can find the answers to their questions. You know, very specific questions, but at the same time, it's done again very simplified format. So when we got together as a team, we were like, we have a big market segment to go ahead and what it is that we were offering and why we're offering, because you're simply just going to get a better deal. If you meet the income qualifications that was being discussed earlier, I don't see why there's any reason to go anywhere else. So you got to do your homework as a consumer. If I'm talking to the listener right now, do your homework, do your research. Our website is a very, very good source of information right now, but once we go live with our new website, it's dynamic in the sense that you can go ahead and get updates of going on right now with the program, and very easy to follow. And we're also made it very user friendly for lenders who actually they pull out they administer our loans, and then the realtors who are actually out there showing the houses and being in connection with us to know exactly what it is, what our product looked like. Of how to help a first-time home buyer, so, and then of course housing counselors, who are a great resource for those seeking to buy a home who really don't know where to begin. We mentioned lenders and realtors being a very good source of information, and so our housing. And meet with listener, with consumer, and do an assessment of their situation. So as to point them in the right direction. Some people may out, I believe, lender. Others, like I mentioned last time we met over the radio, it's you might have to take a little longer because there might be some credit issues that you have to work through. There might be an employment history that has to be had. So all those things can be hashed out. We basically taken a very, very difficult process, simplified it as much as possible. That's what our team has done. And that's what Kathy asked from us when we started on this. We want people to know what it is that the state offers. Is that you got to know what the state offers, because if not, you're missing out. At the end of the day, every consumer who has a mortgage, it's an expense. It's a monthly expense. So the minimizing that monthly expense as much as possible, well, that's through programs that are available out there. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great.
So quick question. Vetting your – how does a lender or realtor partner with how do we know that the lender knows exactly what they're supposed to do?
How do you know all this?
How does a consumer know?
Say that again, Sal? I'm sorry.
How do you know a consumer, how do you know that that lender you're going to or that realtor that you're going to has the proper training under these programs? Is there a training or a certification for lenders and realtors?
Yes. Our lender, any lender that has access to the program now or is interested in the program, will have to go through training. We make it simple. So, you know, we've got online available 24/7, so they can do it at their leisure. We'll give them the option to request user credentials to then be able to reserve loans under the program. Any lender that's interested, well, I say this, but considering where we are with our social distancing right now, prior to this, we also offered webinars, you know, where you had the opportunity to ask questions, or in-person training where the TDHC homeownership staff would come out and do the training for you and your team. Yes, anyone interested, if your lending organization, your company is not already approved, which there's an easy way to find out, you would just go to our website and look at the lender locator. We have a list of all the approved lending institutions on our website. you would go to make sure that you are already an approved mortgage lending company, and then you yourself as the loan officer would have to go in and you know, go through the training to get the user credentials. So we make it really easy for lender participation. Any lenders that are listening, you know, there's not a cost associated with participating in the state's program. For the consumer, we have a lender locator on our website. It works right now. You'll be able to find lenders in your area if you go to a .com website. If you just scroll down to towards the bottom of the page, you'll have an option to find a lender or find a realtor. And there you would be able to filter out, you know, by area, so you can find a lender that way. If you're working with a lender that is not currently participating in the program, you know, as Fernando mentioned, we want folks to know what the state has to offer. And a good lender... you know, a comparison of the different options that are available to you, and you should ask for that so that you can make the best decision on how, you know, what works best for you and your family and your situation. So if you have a lender that you're working with that is not currently participating in the program, I would suggest that you give them our information and have them reach out to us so that we can walk them through the process.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. So, Fernando, let me ask you, can you just tell us three things that stand out in your mind as to the difference between the website you have now and how user-friendly it will be once you finish? And I think you're going to be finishing up in June or July, if I remember correctly. And we'd love to have you back at that time so you can kind of walk us through it. But give us three things that you feel are going to be the major differences between what you have now and what we can expect.
For me, as Fernando mentioned, it's just going to be the ease of use, the navigation through it. It's going to be where you come in and you will immediately realize that home ownership is, in fact, an achievable goal. It's something that you help you. You'll see how we will help navigate you through the process. If you're not home ownership ready in terms of maybe you're not meeting the requirements that the lender will have at this moment, we're going to take you down the path to get you ready. The information, the tools, and the guides, and everything that will be available on it is much more than we have to offer now. And it's going to be great. It's going to be to a level that that we need to be, and that I think that will get the homeowner with best decision for themselves and their family.
Okay, awesome.
I don't know if that was three things, but I'll scroll it all up in one.
that's great. That's great. Now, a link to your website is currently on our website at rebaconnect.org. That's R-E-B-A connect.org in our buyer resources page. And so you can check into that, and as you come live with your new one, I'm sure it'll be, let me know if I need to change the link on that. But anyway, so what words of advice, Kathy, based on your experiences, and you know, you were here in 2008 when we had another financial crisis and in home ownership and so forth. What words of advice would you give our listeners right now? Advice for our listeners that already own their home and they're trying to sustain it, and advice for our first-time home buyers that they might feel a little apprehensive about going forward.
Well, for those that are already homeowners, I would say, you know, if you're in the situation of hardship and you're concerned that on whether or not you're going to be able to keep your home, seek out the guidance of your servicer. I mean, they're there to help you. They're not there to kick you out of your home. They're not there. They are, and that's something that that we, TDHA, are very proud of. We've partnered with a sister agency, a sister housing finance agency, to service loans on our behalf. And a great loss mitigation area where they're, you know, they're focused on helping you sustain that home ownership. So, you know, just make sure you stay on top of it, because it's important. Home ownership could be one of your biggest assets, and it's something that you want to. Whether or not they want to move forward, I say this too shall pass. I mean, TDHCA was around when we went through the crisis that we went through back in, you know, the 2007, 2009 through 2009 housing crisis, and you know, we saw the comeback where it was slow in terms of, you know, overlays and all of that. That happened, sure, but rest assured, the state of Texas is here to provide you the most affordable options. So we're going to be to provide affordable housing, and so we're going to be, we're always focused on making sure that what we're providing to you is affordable so that it can be sustainable. And the other thing I would say is have patience. To mm-hmm. I think everyone wants to own a home, but you don't want to own it if you can't afford it. So have patience. We're going to help you work through the process so that we can get you there and ready to go.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
That's great. Thank you too so much for being on the show today. We really, really appreciate you. We're almost out of time. We could go on for another hour, I think, because I think the important, the information that you bring us is so, so important. But promise me you'll come back in June or July when you're ready to when you launch your new website. I'd love to hear more about it, and I'm sure our listeners would too.
Absolutely. We would be more than honored to be there.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. So here at the Reba Show, we inform and we serve. We bring you information about home ownership, whether you're preparing to buy, right, Sal?
Right.
Or whether you're trying to sustain, and that's why this topic today was really, really important. Going forward, every week we're going to bring you more information, specific information about these times that we're in. Because I know you have a lot of questions, but like Kathy said, reach out to your servicer. The servicer information is on your statement. So you need to reach out to them if you're needing help, if you're needing some kind of forbearance, right, Sal?
Exactly.
And if you're looking, if you haven't purchased yet, don't be discouraged. There's still homes available. There's still loans available.
Right.
Interest rates are still good.
Interest rates are very attractive.
Yeah.
There's programs available for purchases of single family, duplexes. I mean, talk to your lender. And if one lender says they're not doing it, talk to another lender, because lenders do have, in some cases, different requirements. So just because one lender is not offering a particular program or product at that time does not mean that someone is not.
Yeah, and the good thing about the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association, we're a nonprofit 501c3, and so we have a membership. Our membership has professionals in the business, from lenders to
title companies, realtors,
real estate agents, and we have a resource list for you. Our membership is made up of those professionals, and if you need resources, if you need a professional that really cares about you, then you reach out to us, and we'll give you that list for you to refer to, and you pick the professional on there that you best can work with. So, again, thank you for listening. Are we done, Sal?
I just have a comment. Somebody says, thank you for providing such information. You help me help my clients.
There you go.
I love it.
I love it.
That's from Lily. Thank you, Lily.
Okay. So we're excited to bring you this information. And again, we're working vigorously as an organization and our board of directors. We're working vigorously to bring you correct information. So every week, please tune in to FBRN.us on the radio. And we go Facebook Live. We've been streaming live on Facebook today as well. And we share that. And please share the video for those of you that want to share this information with others. So we're going to sign off, Sal. So if you have any specific questions, please email us, RebaShow@RebaConnect.org. Again, I'm Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And
Salvia Lobos.
Salvia Take Lobos care. Has been with me today. Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
This feeling inside my bones, it goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home, we're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got